Hey, Jen Rev. I just wanted to come to you today with our Wednesday sermon. Today we're going to be talking out of the book of Esther, and we're going to be talking about how God has a plan for our life. Real quick, I wanted to let you know that again, I've mentioned this before, but if you haven't been watching, Reveal is canceled due to this COVID-19 stuff. So we are just going to go ahead and move forward with that. Hopefully all of this is up and done by the time we're going to summer camp and we can continue on with that. But as of right now, Reveal 2020 is not happening. So if you're just now catching that, I'm sorry for the bad news, but we are going to continue on towards summer camp and get this rolling. I wanted to open us up with a word of prayer. And then we're going to dive into this message real quick. So let's pray. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We ask, God, that you would be with us in this time. And we ask that as we read your word and understand your word, Father, that you would be with us and we would have a better understanding and a better knowledge of who you are and what you have in store for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. So I want you to do a little bit of a visual illustration. I'm not going to actually do what I'm going to tell you about, but I do want you to just kind of visualize it in your head. I want you to think of somebody real quick, and I want you to think about them bouncing a balloon over their head. And on that balloon is written their goals, their dreams, their desires, and God's plan for their life. And when they're focused on that one thing, that it's easy, it's not hard, it doesn't have any problems that arise. And then we have another person stand next to them, and they're doing the same thing. They have God's plan and purpose and their goals and their dreams, and they're balancing that. And then all of a sudden they let the cares of the world come in, and now they're trying to juggle these things. You have another person on their other side, and they're doing the same thing, except now they start to deal with self-image and self-doubt. And they're juggling all three of those things when Satan comes by and he's got this little needle. And he takes that needle and he pops all those dreams. And he destroys each one of those dreams and those callings. And you're still left with the distractions and the wants and the desires of those dreams and those callings. But if you're that one person that's still continually bouncing that one balloon or juggling that one balloon, life is easier. You're not focused on the problems around you. You're focused on God and what he has for you and what he has in store for you. And so I want you to be that one person that's juggling that one balloon. I understand we're going through a trying time right now with this COVID-19 stuff. And there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of things that could go wrong and probably are going wrong. But remember that God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a calling for your life. He's always with you. And he will never leave you or forsake you. And speaking of calling, that's what this message and this book is all about. Have you ever heard somebody tell you that God has a purpose or God has a call on your life? I know for me, whenever I was young, I heard that from a young age, that God had a plan and a purpose and something and a calling for my life. I probably heard it first time when I was probably 8 or 10. And I remember just kind of laughing it off and not really sure what to think about it. But as I got older and more people told me the same thing, and people who were discerning of the Spirit and understanding of the Holy Spirit and how to give those words of encouragement and words of discernment, I realized that I was called into ministry and that I was called to do what I'm doing now, which is molding the youth into God's image. It's been a bumpy path, but I finally got on the right path. God does have a plan for us. And even though circumstances kind of get in the way and they cast shadows over our calling, we understand that God is faithful and true to the end. We can't continue to look at things from the home perspective and go, oh my God, my parents are constantly fighting. I can't get it right at school. I don't even know where the next meal is coming from, but I understand this, that God is always faithful and God is always in control. and he has a plan and a purpose for my life. And I'm going to look for that purpose. I'm going to strive towards that purpose. And I'm going to fulfill what God has for me. So let's continue on. Jeremiah 1:5 says this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as prophet to the nations." So even before we were born, God had a plan and a purpose for us. It was crazy when I was doing this study for the book of Esther, because God used Esther and Mordecai, who's another person in this book, to save his people, to save God's people. And throughout our study, we're going to talk about providence and God's providence for us. Providence is basically another word that means to provide. And we're going to see how God provides the needs of his people through Mordecai and through Esther in this series. This book is interesting because God is actually not mentioned in this book literally or even given praise mention or anything like that. He's not mentioned at all in this book, but yet you can see God working behind the scenes in all of this. One of my favorite things to do for this church is to work behind the scenes, to just keep the gear moving and to keep things rolling in the right direction. My favorite areas of ministry is the sound and media industry, ministry, because those people on a Sunday morning get no credit for what they do, but they are what keeps this church flowing smoothly on a Sunday morning. You don't ever notice anything wrong with praise and worship until there's a bad sound or there's feedback or anything like that. So when those things don't happen, you understand that the person working those areas are doing their job properly. And we pray, we thank them for that. If you work in our sound or media industry, thank you for that. Shut up, Chris. He's videoing for me, so he's working behind the scenes today. But God works behind the scenes in this book all through it. He has a plan. He orchestrates his plan. He accomplishes his plan, and he provides the needs of his people. And he does that all through this book. So this is how it began. In Esther chapter 1, due to their disobedience, the Jewish people were scattered everywhere. The 10 northern tribes of Israel were taken into captivity for over a 150-year period, which began in 740 BC. And that scattered the Jewish nation through Babylon for 70 years. Ultimately, that resulted in the failure to return to their promised land. Now that Israel was scattered and the Jews were, Jewish nation was taken captive everywhere, many of them fell away. And they stopped believing in God. They stopped trusting in God. It was evident that God was working, even though that there was disobedience in Israel. There were prophets that kept to the Holy Scriptures, and they were preserving the sacred books of Israel. And instead of doing feasts and festivals, they decided to pray, they decided to fast, and they were in a spirit of repentance. These prophets believed that God's redemption would someday save his chosen people. Say they did this, and they preserved the way of Hebrew life and traditions, even in the midst of their poverty. Even in the midst of their bad times, they still praised their God. They still praised God. And I understand that this is a tough time, but in this tough time, we can still praise our God. The enemy does not take stronghold in this area. Here's the deal, guys. I shared a post the other day on Facebook. It was a song by Elevation Worship called Sea of Victory. And in that song, there's a bridge portion that says, "You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good." In this time of this coronavirus where we can't meet, we can't see each other, we are isolated to our homes, that still doesn't mean we can't spread the gospel. We have so many media outlets out there, guys, to share this and to spread the good news of Christ. I read something the other day that last Sunday was the most amounts of sermons and scriptures and biblical posts and of any day shared on one Sunday. The internet was saturated with so much gospel that every person in America could be reached by the gospel and see something different. So it was crazy to think that in this time that we're still having all of the gospel spread like it is, but these people were doing the same thing. They were believing and they were fulfilling the prophecies that were spoken before them. In Jeremiah, some of the prophecies that he began to speak were heeded by some. And after 70 years of living in captivity, a remnant of the Jews were able to go back to Israel. In Deuteronomy verses 1 through 3, it says, "Only if the nation of Israel would remember the blessing and the curse that was set before them, and return to the Lord their God and obey Him, then the nation would be restored from captivity." In verse 7, it says, "And the wrath inflicted upon them would be turned to their enemies." So, though there was an opportunity to return home, some of them voluntarily chose to stay in exile. Now, you would ask, well, if they were guaranteed that promise, why would they volunteer to stay in exile? When we're so stuck in our ways and we're so stuck in the fact of being comfortable, we may see an act of God happen and we may not respond to it because we are dead set in our comfort zone. So the ones that remained disobedient, they were comfortable there. Some of them stayed back because they were too young or had positions of leadership. This left Jews scattered all throughout the Middle East. So that's where we find Mordecai and Esther. Mordecai was Esther's cousin, but acted more like a father to her because her parents died when she was young. Mordecai was from the royal family of Saul, but he was cast out from that family. Was believed that Esther was very young, because she was still under the care of Mordecai. She will remain close to him throughout this book, though. When we go through this book, you'll see how she keeps him close by. He almost becomes a right-hand man of hers. Esther was very young, but she was very beautiful. We do not know much more about her other than what we read in the book. Mordecai, however, was a Jew scattered after captivity, living in Susa and sitting at the king's gate every day. Because of this, Mordecai probably was aware of the things coming and going from the, whether it was information or whatever was brought to the king. And we see even now how God is already placing Mordecai and Esther in their positions for influence. In the book of Esther, we talk about this king, and this king is basically somewhat of a pushover. He very seldom ever makes a decision of his own and sticks with it, because what happens is he has these seven eunuchs that help make decisions for him. And so we see this king's name is King Xerxes. He was an extravagant king who liked to drink and host parties. We see in verse 1 that he hosted a party for 180 days, and because he wasn't tired of partying, he invited more people to his courtyard, and they partied for 7 more days. And we see that one day later on in that story, King Xerxes was in a drunken state, and he ordered his queen Vashti to appear before him so that all of Persia might see how beautiful that she was. Well, guys, she stood her ground and she refused. She decided that she was not going to do what the king said to do. And so this angered Xerxes, and he ordered her to be removed. It was a drastic move that stunned the nation, but it opened the door for God to work. When Queen Vashti was banished from the kingdom by King Xerxes for refusing to appear before him, the king began to search the nation for a new queen to take her place. He basically held a beauty pageant, and Over 400 women and young, excuse me, 400 young women were brought in for evaluations, basically. And it sounds really bad because these young women were brought in and they were given these trials and they picked the prettiest ones. And I want you to understand this, girls. God made each and every one of us beautiful. God made each and every one of you beautiful. You don't have to live to the expectation of a man's acceptance of beauty because God has called you beautiful because he made you in his image. So understand that. We read this story to understand how God used people to better his kingdom, to free his people. But that doesn't mean that the people in disobedience in this time understood what God thought of them. So here's what happened. Mordecai presented Esther to King Xerxes, and he immediately was attracted to her. She was extremely beautiful. She was given food and beauty treatments. Esther was pampered. She was basically given a crew of seven stylists, and the stylists were there to help pamper her, do her hair, do her makeup, get her wardrobe, feed her the right clothes, get her to be the best possible looking person that she could be. Her beauty and graciousness impressed the king, and he fell in love with her. He fell head over heels for her. If you've ever seen old cartoons where the cartoons and their heart would beat out of their chest, that was kind of King Xerxes at this point in time when he met Esther. But here's the deal about Esther. Esther was a Jewish girl. And Esther never revealed her faith or her nationality. One, King Xerxes never asked her, but two, she never told her because her Mordecai instructed her not to. So she did that. She respected her father figure at that time and did not do that. So again, God has a plan and is working behind the scenes because she could have concealed the fact that she was Jewish. And we'll see later on why she concealed her faith, because there is a time to speak up and there is a time to be quiet. And so we understand later on why she was quiet at this time. The time wasn't right for her to reveal who she really was. This is God's faithfulness and his plan at work. Consider this. God was setting into motion a plan. And in his plan, he was saving the Jews, and he was using an unknown virgin girl to help it come to pass. A virgin Jewish girl, for that matter. It sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? It sounds almost like the virgin birth story. We saw that Mary was a virgin Jewish girl who was to be wed to Joseph, and she became pregnant with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And she wasn't pregnant due to having sex. She literally was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And so we see God use another virgin Jewish girl. And you can imagine being Esther at this time. She's very young, but she's very beautiful. And she gets put into this beauty pageant, and all of a sudden, she's now set up to be queen. I mean, that's crazy to think. If you were in her shoes at that time, how do you think you would be feeling? But throughout the introduction of Esther, we find three strategic moves that God used to advance his purpose and his plan. God's plan to redeem his people was set into motion through people's disobedience. God used his plan and his purpose through people's disobedience, which led them into captivity, and so they needed to be rescued. So they understood that they needed something at that time. Mordecai, a Jew, found himself in the inner circle and the influence of the king. And last but not least, Esther, an orphan who was adopted by her uncle Mordecai, was found to be lovely by the king, and she became queen. Those three steps right there were a stepping stone for God's plan. Upon becoming queen, Esther had the opportunity to ensure Mordecai was kept close to her in her kingdom. She could have helped him get the job directly in the kingdom if she wanted to. In Esther chapter 2, verses 21 through 23, it says this. It says, soon after Esther became queen, Mordecai was sitting at the gate when he overheard two guards talking. The Bible tells us that they were conspiring to kill the king. Mordecai passed the word along to Esther, who in turn passed it to the king. Very soon, the assassins were caught and they were killed. Esther was sure to give credit to Mordecai for the discovery, helping him win favor with the king. And we understand later on in this story why that is so important. Mordecai got favor from the king because he was entrusted by Esther. So remember that God has a plan and a purpose. In the disobedience of the Jews, he still used people to save his people, to save the Jewish community. In this story, we see just a little bit of how God moves and how God works behind the scenes of one, putting Esther in the place that she needed to be after Queen Vashti had decided not to show herself to her king. Two, we saw Mordecai put himself in an inner circle of trust towards the king so that he could become the right-hand man of Queen Esther. And then three, we saw a very pushover king decide that he wanted a new queen, opening that door for God to bring in Esther. So God's name is never mentioned in this book. And why do you think that might be significant? God's name is never mentioned in this book. So why do you think that might be significant? In what ways do you already see God at work in this story? What is the hardest part of trusting that God has a plan and a purpose in your life? I know for me, it was giving God full control. I knew God had a plan and a purpose for my life, but I wouldn't trust him fully until I gave him everything. And so for me, it was learning how to trust God with everything, not just a little bit, but with everything. When King Xerxes began searching for a new queen, what kind of things drew him to Esther? We can see that it was her beauty and her graciousness that really kind of captured his eye. And it shows that later on. Why do you think Mordecai wanted to put Esther in a position to possibly become the next queen? If you were Esther, how would you feel about all the things that are going on? Do you think it is possible for us to recognize every move of God in our lives? Or do we accept the fact that he's working even when we cannot see him? Why do you think God works behind the scenes for us sometimes? I'll give you my answer for this one. You don't have to take my answer. But for me, the reason why I think God works behind the scenes so much, or sometimes for us, is because if everybody was as brazen and as bold to share the gospel as we saw later on with Peter and with Jesus, even, if everybody was like Jesus and just shared the gospel like that, people would think Christians are kind of weird. And I think God gives us normal people, normal Christians, who love God and trust that God has a plan and a purpose. And when they make friends or they come into relationships with people, they're not just immediately going to be like, "Hey, I saw you today at church. Do you believe in Jesus?" They're not going to go out and just do that. They're going to be, "Hey, I saw you in church today. Do you think you might want to grab some lunch? We can just kind of sit down, chill, chat, see about life." And what happens is they get this trust built up with this person, and over time that wall gets broken down inside of this person who just is so tired of church and so tired of trying to be force-fed the gospel that they actually see the gospel in real life, and they become open to the idea of the gospel. I think that's why God works behind the scenes more often than not. God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. He's ever present and always working. We sing a song called Waymaker that says, "Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working." It's the same concept. Even when God is distant, even when people are being disobedient in this book, we'll see God work through them. We'll see God work and his providence and his and how he provides for these people and for his people. We see that through this book. In this time right now with COVID-19 and coronavirus and just all this uncertainty, excuse me. We see plans and actions and steps that are being taken that may not make sense to us right now, but later on they would make more sense. And we see that God is moving even now with the ways we're able to share the gospel. I know that we received a word from Pastor Olin not too long ago, and he feels that after this time of coronavirus and COVID-19, that there will be a time of revival. And we see that happen a lot in the Gospels and a lot in the world, that after a huge tragedy or a huge virus, that there is a time of revival. And so be expecting of that. Expect God to move. God is always here. And so we understand that when we walk in God's purpose and we walk in that light, we understand that God is going to move and God has a plan for us. So this isn't the end of it. This coronavirus and this plague scare and everything like that, this isn't the end of your story. There's more to it. And God is willing and able to work with us and work through us in these times of uncertainty, in these times of unknowing. God is still God. And so, guys, we're going to pray real quick and we're going to dismiss and talk a little bit more about next week's sermon. Kind of just give you a little brief highlight of what it might be. And then we'll see you next time. So, let's pray real quick and I'll dismiss you. Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We ask God that you would be with us in this time. We ask God that as we go through our day-to-day lives, that we would see you working behind the scenes, that we would be more open to you moving through us, Father. We ask God that if we're given the opportunity to share the gospel or given the opportunity to share our testimony, that we would not back down and we would be bold and share that. And if we have something that we need to say, Father, that we would feel the need to say it and get it out there as quick as we can. God, I ask you to be with us as we go through these uncertain times, that we would trust in you and we would lean into you more, Father. Give us your understanding and give us your peace in these times, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. So, as I said before, when we started this sermon series called Behind the Scenes, we are starting in the book of Esther. And so next week, we're going to continue in the book of Esther, and we're going to talk about how God has a purpose and a plan for our lives some more, but also how Satan does too. And we have to differentiate between the two. I love you guys, and I'll see you guys next week.